All right. Yeah. We are back on a very special episode of Line for Line. I have two phenomenal guests in the building today. My name is Devon, as you know. I will start with you, young lady. You can introduce yourself.
I am Tiffany Wells. I have two daughters entering the ninth grade.
All right. And how about you, sir?
My name is John Sikora. I'm the owner and the director of education at the Sylvan Learning Center here in Kenosha.
Yes, sir. And with today's episode being all about investing, investments, we will be talking about investing in education for our youth and not necessarily the youth. Adults need their education as well, too. But before we start, sir, I know a really close friend that knows you as well, too, who had a few words to say about you. So I'll go ahead and play that for you.
They're a very nice family, very, very, very helpful to everybody. John's
so
actually
sorry.
Done
I was
a
trying to play it from the beginning.
What can I say about John Sikora and the Sikora family? They're a very nice family, very, very helpful to everybody. John's actually done a ton. The Sikora family's actually done a ton for the community, including my kids. They always recognize, what I love about them, they always recognize when kids are in need, that need that extra boost of confidence. No matter what they're doing, no matter what they're wearing, no matter what they're, John and Mona are really good people that always help you out with your kids. Give them that little extra boost of confidence. They're a great family, but that's all I can say about them. Sylvan is great. Sylvan helped out so many people. They're a nice, giving, big family that always give back to everybody, but they're great.
And just like that, sir, how do you feel about that?
It's wonderful to hear those types of things.
Were you able to tell the voice?
I could not tell the voice.
Christina Castillo Vasquez.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Now I can tell the voice.
Yeah.
She has a wonderful, humongous family as well.
Yeah. She's great people. She's great people. So let's start this episode. Right. Just tell us a little bit about you, sir.
So, I was a high school teacher at Tremper about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I wanted to start a business with my brother, and my brother's a investment type person, and we heard about Sylvan, flew out to Baltimore, called my mom, borrowed money from my brother, and started Sylvan on Monday, got married 2 months later, had a kid 6 months later, and here we are.
Yes, sir.
Happens fast.
Now, why is it Sylvan? Why is it that's the route that you chose?
We wanted to be sure that we were working with a company that gave us the freedom to teach the way we wanted to teach and didn't have too many barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvan works on what's called best practices. So we believe that a lot of people know how to educate.
Yes, sir.
And that we can't restrict ourselves to just saying our formula is the only one that works. So we don't prescribe to that. We're willing to listen to everybody's opinions. In the end, you know, we make the final decisions on how we implement our programs. But I was just talking to Tiffany that's one of the things we just talked about. I said some of the curriculum we're going to use today was designed by me, and some was designed by others.
Mm-hmm.
that I feel fits what these students need going into ninth grade.
Yeah. Now, Tiffany, as a parent with children at Sylvan, what's the one takeaway that you say that you've gained from bringing your children to Sylvan?
I'm hoping that it's going to be confidence.
Yeah.
You know, like learning this stuff, but also going into the classroom and not be like, okay, I can understand this, or the confidence of knowing they can ask.
Yeah.
They've already, you know, been, because all summer was virtual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to do half and half if you wanted to, but all my kids were virtual.
Yeah.
So that's like the main thing, knowledge and confidence.
Yeah. What I hear about virtual, it could be a setback as well too, because a lot of kids are hands-on learners, mm-hmm. you know? Yes, it's good for the comfortability and convenience, you know, but not every kid will be able to learn that way just because they need someone to walk them through it, you know what
correct,
I'm saying? And
correct.
When you deal with human interaction, you could take a little bit more
definitely.
Away from it as well,
yeah.
too. Yeah. So when did you start Sylvan in Kenosha, sir?
1998.
1998?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I was 5 years old. So let me tell you this funny story, because obviously Sylvan has all of the commercials and everything like that. And with me growing up in Kenosha as well, too, I would ride past it all the time on Green Bay Road. And I would always tap my mom, say, Mom, I'm ready to get started there. I'm ready to get started there, you know.
That's awesome.
But unfortunately, she said, oh, I don't think you need it just yet. You know, maybe once you get older, like preparing for the ACTs and things like that, then maybe. But now if you're already reading at like a high school level and elementary and stuff like that as well, too. But
yeah,
those are some pretty good commercials as well, too.
They were. I mean, I used to love going to Sylvan conferences when they would preview the next year's commercials. And then with the advent of social media and the takeover of the internet and cable, and it's just too hard to spend advertising dollars that way now. So Sylvan has chosen to do all social media advertising and Google search and things like that. So we don't have those great commercials anymore.
Yeah. For those listeners who are at home and may not know where Sylvan is located, where can we find Sylvan?
We're on Green Bay Road, South Green Bay Road, so south of Highway 50. You know, we always say we're just past Meijer now because Meijer's the big store out there. And if you hit the railroad tracks going south, you passed us up.
Yeah, nice. That's so funny, Sylvan. Sylvan is one of those great places. Can you tell us a little bit about the things that you guys offer and what you prepare people for?
Well, we have programs and students. Like the youngest student we have right now for the summer is 4 years old. And they're kind of doing some pre-K prep. So I think one of the things that his mother saw was that he was just not actively involved with other kids. Very introverted young man, and spent a lot of time at home and with his parents. So at Sylvan, we have small groups. So he's in with two other students. So he's been able to develop the confidence, like Tiffany said, to kind of talk in front of other people and participate.
Yeah.
And we also work on like all kinds of skills. So he's learning how to share. He's learning how to do his own work. He's also learning how to work with others. I think that's one of the things, you know, in today's world, especially with COVID, so many people were at home doing so many things that everything became theirs and they forgot how to work with other people and how to be collaborative and things like that. And that's a big part of going back to school. You know, going back to school, you're going to be, you know, in small groups. You're not going to be in breakout rooms. You're going to be back to where you were, and it's going to take some time to get kids used to that
again. Yes, sir. So now once a kid signs up, like how long would you say the process usually is for you to get them ready for the next stage of your or the desired goal?
Well, everybody has different goals. You know, we tell parents right from the get-go, if you're not ready to commit to at least 3 months to see some type of change, then we're not the place for you. It takes, you know, you have to identify what the true problem is. And although we do diagnostic assessments, those don't always tell you what the true problem is. So we could have a student who is showing behind on a diagnostic test, but then when we meet them and start working with them, their skills are there. And then we'll find that they just didn't have the confidence to commit to an answer, or they were skipping steps when they did the test, or they just thought the test didn't mean anything, so they skipped through it. So it takes anybody who works with students time to understand why they're struggling, why they fell behind. And, you know, we can't do it. So we say, you know, give us 3 months. And in those 3 months, if you're not seeing what you want after you've committed to it, then we'll like let you go.
Yes,
but
sir.
It's really hard for us to tell somebody to leave. You know, we have goals, and we always tell parents, we tell the kids, when we see that you're independent and that you coming to Sylvan is just you doing work, then we'll tell you that it's time to go. So, you know, we used to have a guarantee where we said we raise your one full grade level in 36 hours.
Oh, wow.
And then Sylvan dropped that guarantee. But at our Sylvan here in Kenosha, we still abide by that. So we say if you give us 36 hours of continuous instruction, we're going to raise your scores by one full grade level. So if you take an exam or a diagnostic with us and, you know, you're three grade levels behind, and then we learn that you're really not three grade levels behind, we're going to retest you.
Yeah.
So we retest students like 2-3 times before that 36-hour mark to make sure we're meeting goals. But our ACT prep program is a little shorter than that. It's 24 sessions. We do 4 hours of the reading, 4 hours of math, 4 hours of science, 4 hours of English. And then whatever subject was their worst, we add more hours to. So we do have one program that's a little shorter. But you're not under any obligation to stay. We don't have you sign contracts or papers. We just say as long as it's working and you're hitting the goals that you see for your child and your child feels comfortable, then you should continue.
Yeah.
We had one student started with us when he was in kindergarten, and he came to us all the way till he graduated from Minnesota. And now he's going to Marquette to finish his legal degree. So, and he still comes in every now and then for help.
Oh, wow. Look at that. So I have a serious question, two-part question that I can incorporate the both of you in. But how important is confidence when it comes to like test taking, homework, things of that nature?
It's next to knowing the material is the most important thing. So I work with a lot of adults. Actually, on last week, a young lady came in who I was helping to pass her NCLEX exam to be a certified nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, I can't teach you the material because I don't know it. We don't have time for that. So and she said, I know the material. I just can't drive to that testing center, sit down, and pass the test. So all we did, we met twice a week for an hour, and all we did was talk about confidence, motivation, what you're going to think about on the way to the test, what you're going to say to yourself when you get stuck, how you're going to deal with things. She came running into the center.
Yeah.
And she actually just wrote a really nice Google review for us in Spanish. Nice. And she passed.
Yeah.
So she was thrilled. And it's the same all the way down. You know, when we meet like middle school students, that's probably the toughest time for somebody to have the confidence to raise their hand and to answer a question and to be involved. So we tell them, like, if you're the one who does that and it doesn't work out for you, then come back and tell us.
Yeah.
But if it does work out for you, then just keep doing it. You don't got to do it every day, but if you could ask two questions a week and answer two questions a week and just kind of build from there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then in high school, it's all over the place. Like my daughter, she probably didn't ask or answer a question all of ninth grade. And then last year,
I'm your Huckleberry.
Before COVID started, she was really involved in school. And then actually during online learning, she was really involved because it was kind of secret. Mm-hmm. She could just type in the answers and she could have her camera off, but still click on her mic. So, you know, everybody's all over the place with that. And everybody has their struggles, whether you're 4, 14 or 40, you know, mm-hmm. we all struggle with confidence in different situations.
So. Yes, sir. Now, as a parent who's taken your kids to the Sylvan, what is it about the teaching method that you have to offer that you say, all right, I may be good at this, but I need more help, you know? Because I always say this to like the various jobs that I've been at. Mm-hmm. Someone may be good at a certain job, doesn't necessarily make them a great teacher to train someone else for that job, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So like, what did you want to get? What
was the question? So how important is the teaching method, you know, that you have to offer to your kids?
Oh, that I have to mm-hmm. offer to my kids?
Yes, ma'am.
Teaching method? I mean, I help them with as much as I can, but when it comes to like confidence, like I know this is the answer, but am I confident enough to say that's the answer?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I need somebody else to be there. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. also being like, no, that is you're good. You'd be confident in what you're picking because that's the right one. Mm-hmm. One thing about my girls is they're very homebound. Even before the virtual, like they're home constantly. So now having that virtual learning, and like you said, she was just able to type in an answer and be like, okay, that's my answer, or just send in the paper. Now she's going to be with they'll be with students to have the confidence to ask, like, I do need help on this, or just come home to me. And I'm like, looking at it like, yeah, I don't remember this in my ninth grade,
yeah.
You know? So I think it'll help them a lot.
Yeah. Can you touch on that, John?
I can, because I think Tiffany hit a really good point is that, you know, during the pandemic, when we were at home, parents were asked to do a lot and answer a lot of questions that maybe they weren't comfortable answering. And then they try to Google answers and you get all caught up in stuff like that.
Google's the worst.
you know, what I appreciate most about Tiffany's answer is that she would say, that's the one and you need to be confident in it. You know, and some of us got caught up when we were helping our kids that I have to make sure they got 100 on this. And I was doing that. And then all of a sudden I said to myself, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be guiding them to finding the answers. So we talked more about when we had parent meetings and we did some Zoom meetings with parents, we would say to them, your role at home should be the same it would be if the kids were in school. Your role is to give them the opportunity, the tools and the methods to find the answer on their own. That's long-term learning. You know, we can all sit there and find every answer for our kid why they play video games and they'll get an A, but that's not going to get them there. So the way Tiffany approached it is exactly what you should do. You know, do the best you can, guide them in the right direction, and then say, that's your answer. And if it's wrong, then you need to ask your teacher why it's wrong. And we need to learn from that. And I think, you know, that's true in the pandemic or not in the pandemic, but mm-hmm. that was really a role thrust upon parents that most of us, even educators, weren't ready for.
Yeah. How often would you say that the education system is changing though? You know, because let's say me, I'm 28 years old. things that I learned in high school, I'm pretty sure they may be extremely different from the things that my father may have learned right. when he was in high school.
Yeah, it changes constantly. I mean, Kenosha Unified just adopted a new math curriculum. So they just flipped it over and bought a new series of books, which is very good, by the way. So you always have to be on the cutting edge of what's going on. And when, you know, at Sylvan, and KUSD is very good at sharing things with us, so we know what's coming and we can have the manuals and the answer keys and the process, and they even let us join in on their training and things like that. But I think one of the things that Tiffany and I was talking about was when you get, you know, into high school, teachers aren't just looking for the answer anymore. They want to know how you got the answer, where you found it, where's your evidence. You know, it's evidence-based reading is huge in the education system right now. So if you can't find your evidence, you're still going to get a bad score mm-hmm. if you don't support that evidence. And that's one of the things I put in the binders is I know what's coming in ninth grade and what these students need to see. So when we're doing the program here at Jockey, I want them maybe not to know exactly what to do, but to be able to say to themselves, I remember seeing that. I know I can do this. And I think that's one thing, you know, that all your listeners should kind of think about is what are you going to do in the month of August to help your kids get ready to walk into a school, perhaps for the first time in 18 months? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing at home to make that better? You know, all those trips and all the fun things that we all had to do with our families because they're all put on hold, that's got to come to an end. Mm-hmm. It just does. And it's time to start being focused on what's going to happen in September and how am I going to make this easier for my kids, my kids' teachers, my kids' school, and my community. What am I going to do? And what you can do is just start looking, you know, up things like text evidence-based reading.
Yeah.
Sorry. No and then worries. You can look at pre-algebra skills. If your kid's going into ninth grade, see what they remember about sine numbers. See what they remember about fractions and decimals and ratios and proportions. You can't just send them back into school and say, okay, it's up to you to get this all fixed after 18 months. It's not going to work.
It's just impossible, right?
It's impossible.
Yes, sir. So now as a person who has a four-year-old who's getting ready to send them off to pre-K, all mm-hmm. that stuff like that, what would be the best advice that you would give to keep our kids sharp, you know, and keep those skills fresh in their head and make sure you incorporate maybe fun things so they crave to learn more?
Yeah. With four-year-olds, it's all about proper interactions right mm-hmm. now. And, you know, of course, everything that makes somebody a successful kindergartner, you know, and those things tend to change as well. But, you know, really what pre-K is designed for is to show students that you can be away from your, you know, support at home, go into this building and have a successful, fun day and begin to learn. So that, you know, that's what we really focus on with our pre-K students is, you know, what is learning?
Mm-hmm.
What is your role in learning? You know, and I think that's something that's really not touched upon enough is like students don't really understand what their role is. You know, is my role just to sit in this desk and then finish a worksheet? You know, what is your role as a four-year-old when you go in there? Well, your role is to interact, to develop listening skills, to learn how to follow directions, and to state your opinion and to tell when something's going well and when something's a struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really what the focus is at that age.
Yeah. How would you walk parents through like maybe their kid not passing a test or maybe having to be held back or knowing that they need to work on things a little bit extra? How do you walk the parent through that process? Because me as a parent, I just feel like maybe I would be kind of devastated like, oh no, my kid's not mm-hmm. up to the curb right now, you know? So I feel like I would have to like stress for the answers and the solution.
Yeah. I think one of the first step is to get parents away from the blame game
mm-hmm.
And to find where that responsibility really falls. You know, and there's plenty of people to point the finger at and really to try to figure out how did we get to where we are. So when we test somebody at Sylvan, I will tell them, I said, I'm going to make a guess at what year your child fell behind and what happened. And I'll state it to them with no real knowledge of their situation. And they'll be like, well, that's exactly what happened. You know, grandma passed away when they were in fourth grade or we moved. And it always it's pretty obvious. And, mm-hmm. and I think what parents need to know is when you feel like your kid's falling behind, they are.
Yeah,
they're falling behind and it's time for you to take action and not just to wait. So if you have to wait for your kid to fail a test to know whether or not they're studying, then you're not doing your job at home. And this was really hard for me to talk about when I first opened Sylvan. And now that I've been doing it for 20 years and I've heard and met so many parents, I'm just like, we don't have time. It's just like, here's what I think. Here's what I believe the problem is. And here's what you can do at home. And here's what we can do here. And here's what we can ask your teachers to do. And we got to move on.
Yeah.
And some people appreciate that and some don't. But I'm to the point where I'm like, we need solutions for problems. And that's why I'm so happy like to be here at Jockey, because they're looking for a solution. Mm-hmm. They want to help this community and help these kids and make things move forward. You know, and those people are all over the place. It's just like nobody seems to be able to come together in one place and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many little things going on all over the place, and nobody's kind of bringing it all together right now. So that's what we really have to do.
Yes, sir. So as we get ready to close out, young lady, tell us maybe one of the most things that you are excited for your kids about for Sylvia.
The most exciting thing?
Mm-hmm.
Them getting out of the house and coming to learn, basically. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Because like I said, they stay home. So being confident and coming here to start, for starters, because one's like, yeah, mom, I'll do it. And the other one's like, I'm doing it because you're making me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got to let it, like, it'll help her. It'll be telling her, yeah, like today, this morning, like it's going to help you. I know if my brother did Sylvan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's already, I think he's your age, I believe, 28.
Nice.
And he did Sylvan, and my grandma seen the commercials, she put him in it, and he'll even tell you. And he's a very quiet person, though it helped me a lot. So I got to have him on board to tell my other one, like, yeah. So I think the biggest thing is just confidence and learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Well, yeah.
What my wife tells everybody, all the parents and guardians and grandmas and grandpas when they drop the kids off, is don't worry about how they feel coming in. Just watch how they feel leaving. And when they leave and you don't think that they're leaving in the right frame of mind, then come and tell us.
Mm-hmm.
But 99.9% of the time when a student leaves a successful learning engagement, whether it's at school or at Sylvan or at their aunt's house or a tutor's house, they leave more confident. They leave with a different swagger. They leave knowing that that was an hour of time well spent.
Yeah.
And that's what we always say, you know, and that's what I tell kids right when I meet them. So I still teach at Tremper High School, three algebra classes.
Oh, wow.
And I say to them, I said, don't worry about my class. When you come in here, you come in here with whatever attitude you want. I'm not going to ask you to come in here prepared to learn. I'm not going to make demands on how your mental state needs to be. I said, I'll get you there. You just have to be open-minded enough to let me help you get there.
Yes, sir.
And then when you walk out the door, tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we need just a little bit more of that in general.
I think it's going to be good. I know it's going
to
be good.
Definitely. And that's why I'm here to help with my podcast. You know, I'm definitely here to help the community that I was raised in, you know.
Yeah.
And I know that kids start like kids are the future, you know. And just me speaking from not having like that type of outlet to go to when I was a kid, obviously it's great, you know. But I have one last question for you before we close out, sir.
Absolutely.
What's your satisfaction level out of seeing these kids come to you and then they leave knowing that they took something from it, you know?
It's endless. I mean, we still have students that we've been doing this for 20-something years. We actually had our first grandchild of a student come to Sylvan last year.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's what really gives me the satisfaction, when people just stop by, or when we're down at the fireworks, or we're going for a walk, and they're just like, they know us and they have something positive to say, like Vinicio's mom.
Yeah.
You know, meeting those people is it's like endless, you know, and that's why we keep doing it. When we started Sylvan, we said we're going to do this for 10 years, then we're going to move on to something else. And now we're here 22 years later, I think, and still here.
Greatly appreciate you sticking around and helping the community.
Yes.
And with that being said, we just wrapped up another amazing episode of Line for Line. Appreciate the two of you for coming.
I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Yeah.